Welcome back in. Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knazovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll have Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com coming up at 8 o'clock for his thoughts on the Tennessee Titans. So looking forward to that. Coming up at 8 o'clock right now, talking Nashville Predators. The Predators yesterday fire John Hines and Dan Lambert. Andrew Burnett reportedly hired as the next head coach of the Predators. Kevin Weeks, the first to break that news yesterday. So it's going to be really interesting to see what Barry Trotz has to say at the press conference coming up. Andrew Burnett having to say at the press conference coming up, the fourth head coach in the history of the Nashville Predators. Chris on the text line says, I got a feeling the rest of this offseason might be fun. Maybe Trotz will get some trades going and some signings. This is from Chris on the text line. I do wonder, like, if you're Barry Trotz, like, you know, David Poyle and Barry Trotz, and we talked about, you know, what does this move signal about Trotz? One thing that I thought they made a point to emphasize at the season-ending press conference was patience and kind of the view of the team moving forward, that, you know, Barry Trotz is going to look to make moves that he thinks can improve the team, but that this also might be a year or two. And I do wonder, you know, what does the approach look like for Trotz this offseason now that you are changing coaches? Like, I kind of view it where there are going to be a lot of young guys next year. I wonder if Barry Trotz, does he view it the same way? Are there opportunities that he and his staff are kind of concocting together right now, looking at other teams' salary cap situations where they're going to want to be aggressive? I'm interested to see how this plays out, and does the coaching change factor into that at all?
Yeah, it's a good question. Here's a question that almost made me think, you know, this could almost be the rant, but let's just deal with it now. So what did the Predators do with the recent draft picks that were drafted in John Hines' image versus a Brunette style of team? Yeah, man, that one. Are we in pet peeve territory with that? Quite. I mean, have they been drafted just like a bunch of, like, Andre the Giant? I will crush you!
Just going to start from scratch, going to get rid of every prospect, you know, clean slate.
They're all
Andre the Giant.
I mean, John Hines, I think, also likes players who can skate and pass and shoot and score. They didn't do enough of that in his tenure. Is some of that on him and how he wanted to play? I think that's fair. But also, I think that John Hines is in favor of skilled players who create offense. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, look, he did. He was the coach of Taylor Hall when he won the MVP award.
That is true.
And he was passing and scoring and all that.
Fast and skilled. And yeah, it's just like we're – so like Cody, like, you think that it's just like, I understand, like, the herd line and everything and what they did, which was very effective. I mean, that year it was fun to watch, but I get it. Like, that was kind of the identity. He called it the identity line.
Right.
Is Andrew Burnett opposed to that? No checking. We score goals around here. I don't care about defense. We're just skating, baby. You know, zone entries. I got something to get to on that, too. The zone entry numbers when he was with the Panthers were astounding.
Yeah. But it also helps when you got players. It helps when you bring the players who do that. Yeah. I mean, that's.
Now, so to that point, so that Cody might say, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think that, like, a Kemmel, for example, I mean, we'll see what he develops into. He can be pretty special potentially someday.
He looks good.
It works in any coach in this league will take a player who can do what he does if he can do it at a high level in this league. Any coach.
100%. And that, you know, that goes back to even the Trotz part of this. Like, that, there's this idea that, like, the Predators, like, they want to dump and chase all the time, and they want to just crash and bang on the forecheck. And, you know, look, there's a place for that. I mean, look, go watch Vegas. Vegas doesn't just carry it in the zone every time. They dump it in there, and they go get it, and they're good on
the
forecheck.
Get those pucks deep.
And they can be effective. Now, there are times where it's Mark Stone or it's Jack Eichel, and it's somebody bringing the puck in the zone, and you got to play that way, but you got to be able to do both. Like, that's the point. Like, you've got to be able to play different ways in the NHL.
Have now, different kinds of players, different kinds of lines.
Yeah. Now, I will say, like, I do think there are coaches that are, I guess, maybe a little bit more offensively inclined, maybe the word to put it. I mean, there are systems that you can run where offense is highlighted. So, Maybe that's what Andrew Burnett is. I don't know. I don't think that means that he's just going to totally abandon the defensive side of the game and just say, Yusey, good luck, buddy. We got five guys moving up the ice at all times.
I want 12 Victor Arvidsons out there at all times.
So, you know, it's – I think whether it's hockey, whether it's football, whatever sports you want to talk about, the sign of a good coach is recognizing what your personnel is and building the most successful system around that personnel. That's what you got to do.
This is where I'll put the two, you know, put these two teams together again. It is somewhat reminiscent of the Vrabel just wants to just 3 yards in a cloud of dust, Ohio State, you know. Well, they couldn't pass protect or get open last year. Same kind of idea.
Ricky on the text line says, I feel like Barry gave Hines every chance to convince him to keep his job, almost like an interview process, and when he wasn't overly impressed, no NHL player is ever drafted in the coach's image. They're drafted to fit a need. Good defense, you take him. Fast-scoring winger, you take him. But just because they are big isn't a bad thing. That's from Ricky on the text line. I agree.
Exactly. I mean, that, you know, you got to have some people who can go, you know, make defensemen quiver in their skates sometimes, you know? I mean, it, like, you got to still be able to play that way. So, I mean, you know, it's just
– I mean, look, the good teams have balance, right? Like, think about – I always – somehow I always end up back with Tampa. But, like, think about Tampa. They have Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov, and neither one of those guys are very big, but they're pretty fast, especially in the case of Point, and they're very skilled. So every coach in the world would take them. Now, they also have Victor Hedman, who's an absolute tree trunk back there, you know, and Pat Maroon, guys like that that were really important to the physical aspect of them winning. I mean, Alex Killorn, Andre Palat, like they've had a lot of more quote-unquote power forwards too. Like, you got to have a good blend of those guys.
Right. Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a complete change. But I am interested in hearing from Brunette today just about what he thinks about that. Like, what he says about, like, okay, was last year, this is what you want to look like at all times? This is how, like, this is the type of hockey? Or was last year, we had studs all over the place, skating through the zone, and, like, you know, it was what we did. It was what we did. It made sense. Took advantage of them, but it was also driven by how good they are.
Well, and look, I think Predators fans have been starving for offense for a while, right? I mean, when they first came in the league, when Barry Trotz was the coach, the expansion rules weren't what they are now, and you had to build the team differently. Like, they had to build the team back in the day from the goalie out. So you had Vokoun, and then you started drafting defensemen really well. Like, they've always drafted defensemen really well in the history of this franchise, and that's been the way they built their team. Like, even when they got to the Cup Final, yes, they got Johansson scoring clutch goals and Forsberg scored some big goals, but you and I think, would both agree that the top two reasons that they were in the Cup Final was, number one, the goalie with Pekka, but number two, the top four defense that they had constructed with Subban and Ekholm and Yossi and Ellis. Like, they've always kind of built their team that way. And you can win doing that, but I think Predators fans have been starving for more of an offensive team for a while. And, look, Andrew Burnett, it's still – you can have the system, you can have the coach, you can have the approach to be offensive. It still comes down to, you got to have the right players. And that's what I don't know yet about this group. Like, what exactly does Andrew Burnett have to work with? We asked the question heading into this segment, like, how much different is it going to look? A lot of that's going to be like, what do you have to work with if you're Andrew Burnett? Like, is Luke Evangelista going to turn into a point-per-game player? Is Juuso Parsonen a legitimate top-six center? Like, is Philip Tomasino a winger that can turn into a guy that puts up 55, 60 points every year? Like, a lot of these questions are going to be, yes, the coach is important, but what exactly does he have in the pipeline in terms of their talent and their ability?
The two guys, you know, this is the new pairing. This is the fourth pairing. And I think it's been true all along. It's always true. The guy choosing the players is just a lot more important than the guy coaching the players. Right? I mean, it's just what it is.
Yeah.
And there's a certain, you know, there's a certain – and it's interesting, too. I've thought about this. It's like – so basically the Preds have kind of gone, like, young, develop with a young team, coach two in a row here, you know. When Barry Trotz was fired as coach, what was the reaction in Nashville?
Well, the reaction was they need to be more offensive. That's what it was.
So it was basically approved.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like everybody in town was like, oh, my God, David Poile, how could you? It was like, yeah, no. It's time.
Now, there were some that thought that maybe it should be Poile and not Trotz. But to your point, it was not, you know, it was not some outrage of anger that Barry Trotz got fired.
Yeah. So point being that, you know, it just coaches come and go. And like Brunette, they could grow with a young team and maybe they just don't get over the hump in the postseason. And then the recycled coaches who, that's what Laviolette was, right? It was like, let's bring in someone who's actually done it. And it worked. And that's kind of like the cycle of coaching this league. The next coach is probably like Peter DeBoer in 2028.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like the recycled coach who has had the obviously what you hope is you found a guy now for the long haul. And that this will be the combo for a long haul, and Brunette will grow with the team and have the success. But that's why the recycled coaches exist in this league, because at some point it's like, okay, bring in someone who's actually done it.
Right. And I mean, look, everybody's looking for their next homegrown guy. Like Adam brought up yesterday on Jared's show, like Jared Bednar, right? Like everybody's looking for the next Jared Bednar or John Cooper from Tampa, who starts off at the lower level. They win and they get up and they're ready to go.
What Blasio was supposed to be.
What Blasio was supposed to be in Detroit.
Didn't work out. But you know why it didn't work out? Because they didn't give him good enough players.
Exactly. I mean, it's at the end of the day, Trotz's part in all this is still going to be you got to identify the right players. And look, they got 13 picks in this year's draft. This needs to be a good draft for the Predators. I know they're not getting Connor Bedard, but there are more players than Connor Bedard that can help you. Like, you got to. You have to either leverage these picks or use these picks to your advantage. And ultimately, that's going to be what gives your coach the opportunity to be successful. And look, I think based on what I've seen from some of these younger guys, you know, the knock on the Predators forever has been that they can't draft forwards. Well, some of these younger guys, maybe you're starting to see that change a little bit. Now, Andrew Brunette's going to play a big part of that moving forward here in terms of his development. But that's at the end of the day what it's going to come down to. Like, it's got to be about the younger players and specifically the forwards coming in. And by the way, like, I think there's a good chance, and people may not like this when it happens, but I think there's a good chance that their first pick this year in the first round is going to be a defenseman. I think it probably needs to be a defenseman
if that player lines up. They're light.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More of your reaction to the firing of John Hines and the hiring of Andrew Brunette. Coming up next here on the show, we want your participation. Your phone call, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Join 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls, coming up next Wednesday, June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together, come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. If you want to support Souls for Souls but you can't play golf with us, just check out our silent auction items. You can go to thegamenashville.com/golf. For more information. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Preds fired John Hines yesterday. Andrew Brunette hired as the fourth head coach in team history. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Kelton on the text line says, how deep does the rabbit hole go? Poile said himself he was grooming Trotz to be in this position. Now we have a coach that was a former Pred. All in the plan, LOL. This is from Kelton on the text line. Now, yes, Andrew Brunette was a former Pred. He scored the first goal in team history. He was here for 1 year. He played 1 year with the Predators. So, I mean, doesn't go that deep, I don't think.
Great nostalgia.
It's good nostalgia. It's cool that he scored the first goal, but I don't think, like, I don't know that Barry Trotz for like 3 years has been like, one day when I become a general manager, I'm going to hire Andrew Brunette to be my head coach. I don't think that's happening.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was a name that was thrown around quite early in this, right?
Look, I think Andrew Brunette, whether it was here or elsewhere, I think Andrew Brunette was getting a job this offseason. Like, he had interviewed, you know, Elliot Friedman was talking about this yesterday. He had interviewed with, I believe, Columbus and Anaheim, and I think was on his way to interview with Calgary after this. So it's hard for me to believe that he would have gotten through that whole process and not ended up somewhere. And he ended up with the Predators. Like we talked yesterday, Joe, you know, with the open jobs that are out there, where do the Predators rank? And, you know, Carberry goes to the Capitals. I mean, that's a natural fit. Carberry used to be a part of the Capitals organization, and now he's the head coach in Washington. I have no idea if that was Barry Trotz's first choice, if that was his second choice, and Brunette was his first choice, and we're not going to know. Like, Barry Trotz is not going to come out and be like, yeah, Andrew Brunette was actually my second choice, but they took the guy that I really wanted. So we're not going to know that. But
happens all the time.
It's a point, like, Andrew Brunette was going to get a job this summer somewhere.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look. I mean, like someone on the text line was like, you know, look at what he did compared to Hines. Way better coach. Okay, well, I mean, he certainly had a really good, did a really good job in almost a full season as an interim head coach. Different kind of situation, but still, I mean, it had to have helped him. I guess you could, maybe he got knocked. I don't remember. How much did he get knocked for them just getting steamrolled by, you know, by the Lightning last year in the playoffs? I was excited for that series.
Yeah.
Didn't it turn out to be a very good series, but it was the Lightning.
It was the Lightning. Well, and, you know, we say that. Now, there are some Predators fans that are still mad at the Predators last year getting swept by Colorado, and they went on to win the Cup. Like, it's, this is why, like, it's always funny to me. Like, the coaching part of this is just in the eye of the beholder. Like, there are some people that have been out on Hines so long that in one breath are knocking Hines for getting swept by Colorado, and in the same breath they're like, well, Andrew Brunette lost to the Lightning. It's the Lightning. It's like, well, which one is it?
Right.
You know? Like,
yeah. Well, so let's – it's just hypothetical.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not sitting here saying the Preds were wrong to move on from John Hines. I think they could have handled it better. But if you took Andrew Brunette and gave him the exact teams that John Hines has had – and if you gave John Hines that Florida team last year, how different are the results?
It's a great question. And, I mean, at the end of the day, this league is about players. Now, having said that, I do think, and we talked about this throughout the season, I know in some ways it almost felt like two different years for the Predators last year with the pre-deadline part of it and the post-deadline
part of it. Which is two of the last 3 years it's been like
that. Which is kind of two of the last 3 years it's been like that, and I mean, really, three of the last 3 years. It's played out differently. But, you know, in 2021, they were terrible. We were talking about blowing it up, and they went on that run, and they made the playoffs and really carried it over after the Carolina series for the first half of next year where they're in first place. And then they kind of bottomed out after that in the second half of the year. So it's been 3 years in a row in different forms where they have looked
one half is way
different
than the other.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, it's been kind of a wild goose chase to find some consistency with the Predators. But this year specifically, they had a team where you'd made the move to get Niederreiter and McDonough in the offseason, and there were expectations that this team was going to be decent heading into the year. And they didn't live up to it. And I think you and I talked about it, of the John Hines part of it, I think this was the year where you looked and said, yeah, not his best work in the first part of the year. And then he follows it up, and the young guys come in, and they get close to making the playoffs, and maybe that changes the narrative a little bit. But I say all this to say I don't love the way that the Predators handled the John Hines part of it. I think it was probably the right move to move on and go find a new coach.
Yeah, I have a problem with it. I think that in a lot of cases it's just changed the voice. But it's about the players. But they went on these big stretches of good and bad and ended up being very average. They were an average roster too, but inconsistent for sure. So I mean, it's fine to move on from him. And you know, I keep thinking about like the finalist thing, and like again, it doesn't matter. But I keep thinking about, so, okay, let's say Brunette. Let's say someone else had hired Brunette.
Right.
Carberry goes somewhere else. So Trotz confirmed to Skrbina with the Tennessean that Carl Taylor was a finalist.
Right.
The more I think about it, I think that maybe had they missed out on both of these guys, that Carl Taylor still would have just been on John Hines' staff. That's my guess. I could be wrong.
Maybe so.
But, I'm still trying to do the math in my head on not telling him until yesterday that he's fired.
Right. I mean, well, and the other part of that is like, okay, he was a finalist. number one, like if you're Barry Trotz, and nobody would know this but Barry Trotz, but are you saying that because you're trying to make Carl Taylor happy and you want to keep him around? Or, like, if Andrew Burnett didn't get the job, was Carl Taylor about to be the head coach of the Predators? I mean, that's what I would love to know.
That's what you think.
That's what I would love to know.
Yeah.
Because if he was, why didn't he just fire John?
Right. That's the thing. I almost feel like he's making sure everybody knows he was a finalist, but he actually wasn't a finalist. And I don't know I don't know if that's true or not. Just speculating.
Well, and again, like I think there are
people.
But
they want to keep him in the organization, and they want him on this staff.
Sure. Which I don't blame him. But this is another situation where two things can be true. Like, there are people getting mad at us on the text line about, well, who cares how they treated John Hines during this thing? He's a terrible coach. Like, first off, I don't think he's a terrible coach. I also don't buy, like, I saw it in the immediate aftermath yesterday, like, well, John Hines knows Chris Drury, so that must mean that he's a candidate for the New York Rangers. Like, yeah, well, maybe. A lot of people know each other in the league. Maybe he will be, maybe he won't. But I don't know that I could see him getting the New York Rangers job. I don't think he's a terrible coach. I think he's probably going to have to end up being an assistant somewhere right now. And then maybe one day he's going to be a coach again in the NHL head coach. We'll see what happens on that front. I don't think he's a terrible coach. I do think it was probably time to move on if you're the Predators. And you can think that and also say maybe the Predators should have handled this a little bit differently. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Two things being true is very difficult.
It is.
We struggle with this in society.
We do struggle with it. Jacob in Murfreesboro says, excited to have a new head coach to grow with a younger upcoming core. This felt like the type of hire they should have made back whenever Hines was hired. Most likely next year will look similar to this year, but if Burnett can get them to have a league average power play next year and get the same level of performance from Saros, they can definitely be a playoff team. That is an interesting part of this. Like, the special teams, you know, Lambert was in charge of the power play. He gets dismissed yesterday. We're 2 years removed from the Predators having the best power play they've had in a long time.
An elite power play. The same people.
With the same people. So it's not like the tools can't be there for the power play, especially when you got guys like Yossi and Tyson Barrie on the back end. So we'll see what happens there. But that is going to be a big part of it. Like, in the short term next year, I agree. Like, the talent, I'm not sure, is going to be there for the Predators. But if you can fix the power play, like, that can make a difference in you making a playoffs or not. If the power play's fixed next year. Could be. We'll see.
Yes.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Predators, the firing of John Hines, the hiring of Andrew Burnett coming up next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at PhD Weight Loss.
I do. Very happy to talk today about PhD Weight Loss and the program I've been on for 4 weeks now. 4 weeks, 14 pounds. And, you know, the thing is, it's easy. That's the big thing about this to me. It's very clear. It's very laid out for you. It's very easy to follow. There's flexibility, so there's, like, approved items at a lot of popular restaurants. One in particular I go to a lot and get a particular item a lot. But also 80% of the food's provided for you. So, you know, that's no additional cost, no pills, no injections, no gimmicks. And then once you get to your target weight, you know, free maintenance, and that's the whole thing, right? I mean, there's a lot of different ways to lose weight. Are you following something that's easy to follow, that's not, you know, too challenging, and that you can then maintain? And this program has a great mix of products they provide, but also flexibility to cook your own stuff. And like I said, go out and eat things too. So it's a fantastic program, PhD Weight Loss. Check it out. You're talking about guys on this program average right around 4 or 5 pounds lost a week. And that's the story on PhD Weight Loss.
Tune in for National Sounds Baseball today at 10:05 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Charlotte Knights, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 7:45. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com joining the show at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that. Reacting to the firing of John Hines yesterday by the Nashville Predators, Andrew Burnett hired as head coach. Taking your thoughts, April in Portland, who I knew we'd hear from at some point today on the text line, says, finally, Preds fans rejoiced when the news came out yesterday. It was glorious, Joe. This from April
Domination
in Portland on the text line.
Yeah, well, that's definitely what she's referring to. I can't believe it's taking this long for April to rejoice in this. Maybe April should call Jared's show, and they can just have a party on the air about this.
Maybe.
I think those are the two biggest Heinz haters in town.
Yeah. Raymond on the text line says, I think it's okay to be done with Heinz and feel like this guy does have a lot of question marks, referring to Brunette. That being said, the new regime needs to not rest on their history and prove themselves. This is from Raymond on the text line. I don't think there's enough history from Andrew Brunette as a coach to be worried about him resting on that. We're talking about 1 year where you're an interim coach.
Yeah.
Albeit a very good record.
Yeah. Okay. So, because I took that as the history here. I was going to say, are they going to have a replay of Andrew Brunette's goal, first goal in Preds history today?
Oh, I'm sure it'll come up.
Which, by the way, took like a 10-minute review.
It did.
Because the net was knocked off.
It was.
A little bit anticlimactic, but it was a goal.
It was. It was a goal. Herb in Kentucky says, I used to think the Preds were a classy organization. The way they fired Heinz was classless. That doesn't reflect on Brunette. I hope he succeeds. This is from Herb in Bowling Green. Well, look, you know, the real question, I don't know that this is necessarily like some big reflection of the Predators and Barry Trotz and the classless and stuff. Like, if you've been around Barry Trotz, like, the guy's pretty good.
Ruthless.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes you got to do your
he's
job.
He's the Wolf of Wall Street among us.
He really is. Sometimes you got to do your job that way. But the way that it was handled, I mean, Friedman talked about it yesterday on Caroline Willie and D-Mace. It has rubbed some people the wrong way, the way that the John Hines situation was strung out. And that is kind of, I mean, the question that I don't know that Barry Trotz is ever going to really answer is, was Hines actually like your fallback guy? Because I don't necessarily agree with that, but I could at least understand that approach. Like, if he's the fallback guy, then you hold on to him, and if you don't get your guy, then he's just your coach. It's not the way I would have done it, but I can at least understand the thought process there.
Yeah, because if not, if he wasn't your fallback guy, it was kind of like, okay, we always have him for another year, then do you just not like him? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, you just say, hey, you know what, John? You just sit there for a few weeks and stew on this, and we'll let you know. I mean, again, Trotz talked to the Tennessean yesterday, so he said that he had told John that they were going to talk to people. So, you know. So John knew, per Trotz, on the record, that they were at least going to talk to people. That's still different than, I mean, he was told yesterday that he was fired.
Right. Ryan in Nashville says, finally, it's time to be happy about the Preds again. Haven't been this happy since the day Aaron Rodgers was finally traded. This is from Ryan in Nashville on the text line. There you go. I guess Ryan in Nashville, Packers fan.
Okay.
Or maybe a Bears fan.
Or just, yeah.
Or a Jets fan.
Or a Jets fan.
Interesting.
Many options.
Look, I think people, hey, this is, you've got your new era now, right? I mean, you've got your new era, and we're going to find out about Trotz as a GM. We know he's a good coach. And we're going to find out about Brunette as a coach. Early indications are good.
Yep.
Very early.
It's very early. And look, this situation that he's stepping into, the one thing the Predators, I thought, did really well for themselves at the deadline was they created cap space, they created draft capital, and they got flexibility. Like, they have significantly more flexibility now than they did pre-deadline. And I thought, it's funny to think about. Think about like the temperature of the fan base 2 days before the trading deadline took place and where it is now. Like, just the how much different everything is, from Poile announcing his retirement to Trotz coming in to getting rid of the Granlund deal and getting all those picks back for Tanner Janot, some of the moves they made at the deadline, the way the young guys played down the stretch, and now bringing in Andrew Brunette as head coach. Like, this feels like a revitalized fan base, regardless of what you thought of John Hines. I mean, there are some that thought he did a good job, some that were ready to move on. But I don't think anybody can deny that the fan base is in a totally different spot now than it was this time 4 or 5 months ago.
Right. If next year it's a non-playoff team, 500, sub-500, whatever the case may be, if you see some young players that you like and you see some development there, there's still going to be excitement because you have some of these guys. I mean, we're going to see some of the young players, maybe a lot of the young players, and there's total patience now, hoping that this draft with all these picks and whatever else happens this offseason, and then Brunette, that they all grow together. If it was Poile and Hines next year with all the exact same results and maybe young players everywhere and everything, all it would be with people talking about their jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so no, it will be a very different vibe. As someone points out, the 21 season will always be the vibing with Robbie.
Yes.
Season. Gover's pissed on the Hines thing.
Okay.
He says, I don't have time for that stupid argument. Teams go behind coaches' backs to find someone else all the damn time, in all caps. Grow up, says Gover.
Talking about the way that the Predators handled the Hines situation?
Right. Okay. You're talking about the last text about, and again, this is, okay, that's fine. But again, if he was your last resort, you know you got him, your safety. He's your safety school. Like Harvard was my safety school, okay?
Yes.
Obviously.
For example. So if that's what he was.
Mine was Yale.
Then fine. Yeah. Well, yeah. We kick your butt and crew.
Mine was Tennessee.
Row you out of the river, wow. Baby. What's that? Nice. UT. Okay. But so that's fine. But again, go over. If it's not the case, then fire him. That's all I'm saying. Just fire him earlier. Just fire him. Let him be about his business. Is that going to make a difference for John Hines getting a job now or not? I don't know. The guys on his staff, I think maybe some spots have been gobbled up in the last few weeks that.
Maybe they're all going to be here. Who knows?
Well, that's true. It's only one. Lambert. You know, Lambert, is he going to struggle to find a spot? And could he have gotten a spot if 3 weeks ago he was fired? That's what I'm saying. But this is why I think that he was their safety.
Yeah, I mean, he could have been. I mean, look, John Hines, he's got a year left on his contract. He's going to get paid. That's how things work. Like, he's going to be fine. Like, he's going to find another job at some point.
He'll be on a bench.
He'll be on a bench somewhere. He'll be an assistant coach probably. Like, I don't buy the Rangers stuff. I guess we'll see. Maybe Chris Drury really likes him. I don't know. But I don't buy the Rangers stuff.
Is it possible that Hines and Laviolette could be together with the Rangers? Maybe. Hines is Laviolette's.
And that'll be the year the Rangers go to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah.
They got the team.
They got the team.
They got the goods.
Maybe the Rangers will do it to just stick it to the Devils.
Maybe.
I don't know how much it would, but.
Imagine a Laviolette Hines coaching staff that got to the Stanley Cup Final, what the reaction around here would be.
Oh, my goodness. Someone on here was like, this goes back to the big mistake they made when they fired Laviolette. And I pointed out, so Laviolette left here, Hines was here. Laviolette, objectively, without question, had the better team.
Yes.
And Hines had a better record during that time period. Am I right? I believe that's correct.
Right.
So.
It was time to move on.
I'm
to Peter
just
Laviolette.
Saying. Yeah, now, Peter Laviolette has a shelf life. A lot of coaches do. I think his is very pronounced.
Now, to Gover's point about how teams talk to coaches a lot, even when they have coaches on staff, like, think about when Peter Laviolette, if memory serves me correctly, was officially fired on like a Monday. And I think it was a Monday afternoon. And I think the Predators announced John Hines as the head coach Tuesday morning.
Absolutely. No, no, it's exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, the difference is, like, you're in season.
Right.
And so, you know, so it was so much focus on, like, he's gone any minute now, whatever.
Right.
But, yes. Yeah, it's not like they're like, hey, well, what do you think? Well, let's call this John Hines up guy right now. Let's just try this today.
To have one conversation with him, like, that's it.
Yeah,
he's our guy.
So it's absolutely – Hines came in, again, different situations than in-season firing, but yes, there were conversations, just like there always are, that go on behind the scenes.
Well, and it's kind of interesting, and somebody brought this up on the text line too. Like, the way this has gone down with Hines is kind of the way it went down with Brunett in Florida last year. I mean,
He
was in limbo, and then all of a sudden Paul Maurice – was a bit like Barry Trotz. Remember last year, he gets fired by the Islanders and he kind of holds up the coaching process, right? Because a lot of people wanted to talk to Barry Trotz, and then he decided he wasn't coaching and teams moved on from there. Paul Maurice was hired by Florida, I want to say like maybe 4 or 5 weeks after their season was done, and Andrew Brunett was shown the door. So it's kind of the same situation that Brunett is stepping into that was at his expense last year.
It's a circle of NHL coaching life.
It is. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. We'll get back into the Predators and the John Hines stuff coming up a little bit later in the show. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com joining the program at 8 o'clock. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. So looking forward to that. Make sure you join 1025-1063 The Game on June the 6th for the night before Charity Riders Round featuring Saving Able, benefiting Souls for Souls. General admission is $20 with every ticket going to purchase a new pair of shoes for a child experiencing homelessness in Middle Tennessee. It's happening at the brand new The Ballad East next to the Gallatin Hotel in East Nashville. Doors open at 6 p.m. You can get your tickets now at thegamenashville.com/golf. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Glorious. I love it. It's so stupid. It's a terrible song.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Already the second mention of Glorious Domination today. April in Portland, very happy today. Joe Rexroad, not happy when this song plays.
April was my inspiration for this.
There you go.
April also was mad when I suggested she should call Jared's show.
Oh, good.
I think you need to. You guys should just rejoice.
Talk
play
it out.
Play that song. Just have a good old time at the expense of John Hines. So I'm going to keep talking about Preds and coaches. And first of all, I mean, I could do a side rant today, sub rant, on the we're at the end of May, we're going into June, and yes, we've got baseball tournament, got stuff, we got the NBA and Stanley Cup Finals, but like we have to have a very important Preds press conference and the exact same time as the Titans have stuff today. Because,
yeah,
you know, can we spread some things out a little bit? Can we think about the whole picture, please?
Think about Joe Rexroad when you're making these schedules.
But all of us. I mean, like, Teresa Walker today, I mean, I guess, I haven't asked her. She'll probably be at the Preds press conference.
Gentry, too, right?
Gentry, yeah. I mean, people who are, John Glennon would be at Titans if not for this. So I think the Preds will probably win. But, like, can we, I don't, look, you make a decision, you have a press conference the next day. You probably could have worked it out.
Says Vrabel on his thoughts on the hiring of Andrew Burnett.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, ask him today, will you, actually?
Oh, yeah. That'd be a great answer.
Yeah, you never know. I'm sure Coach Burnett is, But what I want to rant about is actually coaching in the NHL. So I want to ask you, who's the greatest coach in NHL history?
Scotty Bowman.
Okay. I'm glad you said that. Scotty Bowman is my spirit animal.
Yep.
Coach, okay? I love Scotty Bowman, and he brought so much joy to my life. And it's hard. How could you disagree? How could you disagree that Scotty Bowman's the greatest coach in history? Let's go through Scotty Bowman's career. So he's an assistant. A guy named Terry Crisp. He's coaching back here in the late 60s, the St. Louis Blues. And he's an assistant at first. Then the head coach resigns. He takes – now this is the expansion NHL 67. You got the Western Conference. You know, there's not a lot going on over there. But they go to the Stanley Cup. First 3 years of existence, they go to the Stanley Cup final as the Western champs. That lands him the Canadiens job. And so you're talking Guy Lafleur and Ken Dryden and the ridiculous teams. Okay? Four straight cups, 76-79. Great. Obviously, an effective coach.
Yeah.
I think there may have been other coaches who might have been able to win titles with those Canadians. I could be wrong.
I think so.
So he goes to Buffalo. He's coach and GM. Then he's really more the GM. He kind of pops in and out as a coach. Nothing really happens there. Goes to Pittsburgh. Had some decent teams there right around 99. He went some decent players you may have heard of.
Yager and Lemieux.
On those teams. And then my beloved, as a kid at the time, Detroit Red Wings hire him in 93-94. And finally, these loaded teams, you know, with Steve Yzerman, and we got Sergei Fedorov, and we got all the Russian Five, and just absolutely loaded teams. Finally, we're going to win it. And in Bowman's first year, the number one seed Red Wings, I will never forget Game 7 against the number 8 seed San Jose Sharks. Lost. But you know what? Bowman went on to win more cups with the Wings. Great, great coach. Possibly the greatest coach of all time.
Nine of them. Nine cups.
Why does he have all these cups? Is it because he's a great coach? I would absolutely say yes. But I think maybe it has something to do with the teams that he was coaching.
Yep.
And I'm just saying. And I think you tell me if you disagree. But I think in this league in particular, coaching the players and the talent, the way it tips the scales way over here, and the coaching, I guess it would be up here because the scales. I'm not saying it's not important. Of course it's important. But, man, you got to have the goods. And this is true. I mean, Vrabel will say, speaking of Mike Vrabel, he'll tell you all day, like, yeah, this is about players, right, folks. It's about players.
So, when you get a guy like Mike Vrabel, you win Super Bowls. When you get a player like him.
Well, hey, he was a good player.
It's true.
He was catching passes in those Super Bowls, catching touchdowns. Point being, today is the day the Preds announced their new head coach, and it's an important hire, and it's, I mean, you know, there are certainly scales of coaches. But you mentioned Jared Bednar earlier. I think he's good. He's a good coach. John Cooper, I think he's good. Good coach. If those guys were in different situations, like, say, I don't know, situations like John Hines has been in his career, I don't know that we'd be thinking they're great coaches.
Right. No, it's about, I think, especially in hockey, because, and you could tell me whether or not you disagree with it, I think hockey is more read and react than pretty much anything else. Like, you have your systems and you have your baseline in place.
And you're making quick decisions.
You're making quick decisions.
All game, for
all
sure.
Game. But I think it's more read and react, make a play, than anything else. Like, basketball is that to some degree, but you have your sets and all that stuff. You know, football, obviously, there's plays called on every play. Baseball, I mean, it's read and react too, but you have to make managerial decisions of when you pull in your pitcher, who you pinch it, and all those things. And you have to make decisions in hockey, right? Like, it's not like the coach is just useless out there. But I agree with you. I also think that's why you see this league, maybe more than any other league, change coaches as much as they do, just because it's just like a revolving door in the NHL. There's just coaching movement all the time. And I do think there are guys that elevate. I mean, that's what you want to find, is a coach that elevates. Like John Cooper, I agree with you. If he was in a different situation, maybe we don't think the same way. I think he elevates. I think he's a great coach. You know, Scotty Bowman, you know, did he elevate? He had a lot of talent around him. I think he probably elevates. Like, there.
I mean, Bowman was, and he was a hard-boiled, old-school coach.
By the way, he's 89. That's hard to believe. And that's what you're searching for, is, like, Barry Trotz, I think, is a good example. Barry Trotz, for the most part, I think elevates. Like, think about what he did here in the expansion era. I think there's a lot of times that he got more out of less. Now, I also think there were a couple times you could point to where he didn't get enough out of the Predators. Like, 06, 07 comes to mind. That team should have maybe not win the Stanley Cup, but they should have done something that year. So, it's not an exact science, but you're looking for the coach that can elevate you more times than not, and it's hard to find.
9 years ago, Barry Trotz is fired, and Nashville's like, yeah, it's about time.
Exactly.
And now, I mean, like, you can't argue that he's not a great coach. But I bet you people were arguing that then. Yeah, he was fine. Thanks. Did some good things. It's just, you know, it's so much about what you have. And like you said, that's why it's a revolving door. I do think demeanor, I think Cooper's demeanor is effective.
Agreed.
It just seems outside looking in. I think Bednar's the same kind of way. And that's maybe a little bit more the new school style.
Yeah.
Why, look, a guy like Peter DeBoer, clearly he has a way of taking something he inherits and making it better.
Laviolette?
It's hard to, and Laviolette has done that too. He didn't do it his last stop, but it's not stopping him from getting the next job. But then some coaches almost have a pattern. Laviolette has been the great example of that. It's important. Of course it's important. The Preds are announcing a new coach today. I mean, look, Andrew Brunette is early in his coaching career, and he may end up being known as a great coach. I don't think he'll be known as a great coach if he doesn't get great players to coach.
Well, ultimately, there's a limit to the coach, right? Like, we talk about too much blame, too much credit. Like, if the Predators are ever going to win a Stanley Cup, yes, you would like to have a good coach, and it's going to require good coaching decisions and all that. But at the end of the day, like, it's going to require your players to be at a level that is worthy of a Stanley Cup. Like, I think Paul Maurice is a very good coach. Paul Maurice in Winnipeg was never really able to break through.
And so they bounced him.
And they bounced him. And he got done. Well, he decided he was done coaching, and then all of a sudden he was revitalized when the Florida Panthers job came open. But you look at the Panthers.
That's the type of job you get revitalized
for. Oh, it's South Florida, and it's warm, and that team's real good. Yep, I'll go do that.
Well, they just traded for Kachuk.
Yeah, exactly. So players in every league, but, you know, hockey, I think, is no different, maybe even elevated to some. It matters. Like, you've got to have the right players and the right guys in place. Otherwise, it's going to be really hard to overcome that. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. That is next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.